The community balance scorecard tools that the Public Health Accreditation Committee has assembled are going to provide a strategic formulation and execution framework which is directly related to public health work. And that's kind of new for us who have been working with strategic planning for a while. It has the potential for longevity and for fostering organization-wide strategic thinking. So that's my conclusion, and if I can get to repeat it at the end, remind me, in case I lose you along the way. How did I get here? And from your program, you saw that Hope Plavin was the original speaker, and Hope, much like our other two panelists, is responsible for the agency-wide implementation of accreditation activities and for strategic planning across the Office of Public Health. She involved two organizations in the health department in this initial technical assistance project. And so back in the spring, the executive office and Hope approached our center offering us the opportunity to participate. We bobbed and weaved. We did everything we could do to avoid this. And then they told us, you've been selected. We're not sure how we won that award, but we were selected. And they told us, we're going to send you a management consultant to work with you. And we said, oh, crap, a management consultant. And then we found out this management consultant was going to tell us about strategic planning. Double crap. So we have all these. So my perspective is going to be a little bit different than the other panelists and perhaps a little different than what Hope intended. Because I'm coming from the program perspective as opposed to the being in the central, of the public health department trying to push this out into reluctant people like me in the program. I'm kind of a hybrid because I do have some previous experience trying to do what Hope has done pretty much in the same department. So, now, two things happened. We went through that process. We had one online training session with this management guru. So this disembodied voice talked to us over the phone. Then there were two on-site, full-day sessions, and then there was another follow-up disembodied kind of presentation long distance. And we're promised a little follow-up to that, to just to cover all the things we were supposed to get. Turns out that our fears weren't really nearly as unwarranted as we thought they might be. We had the good fortune to have an excellent facilitator and consultant who understood not only this community balance scorecard, new strategic planning scheme, but also had a firm grip on public health. And that made all the difference in the world. It made it a very rewarding experience, and which was appreciated not only by the management types who you would expect to, but our engineers, geologists, and toxicologists who work in the Center for Environmental Health. That was Paul Epstein, by the way, and he's sitting over there. Shameless plug, I'm Paul forget, but he really made this technical assistance just that. So thank you, Paul. So I'm going to go through the slides. That again, I have to give credit for this to Hope Plavin, who did these slides, and if she screwed them up, I can blame her. So I've got a little bit of an out. But why don't we just start with those? So this is the agenda for today. We're going to go through what the project was, what our organization's strategic context is in New York State, what the community balance scorecard tools are, what we learned, and where we plan to go from here. So that's pretty straightforward with what we're going to do. Organization charts are always an exciting part of a presentation, and I don't know if you can see that one, but The State Health Department in New York is a fairly comprehensive one. It includes both health systems management and healthcare, public health. It has a public health laboratory. It involves a lot of the finance, long-term care. We also operate several healthcare facilities. We have a rehabilitation hospital in West Havistraw, New York, the Helen Hayes Hospital, and we have several veterans long-term care facilities that the department operates itself. There are about 3,500 state-funded employees, and then another 800 or so funded by our affiliated research organization, Health Resource Incorporated. It used until a couple of years ago. It also involved, contained the Medicaid management and financing arm, but that has since been separated and is kind of an autonomous structure. That's not enough about organization. This is our Office of Public Health, which is one of those components. Four main centers: the Center for Community Health, our Wadsworth Center for Laboratories and Research, the AIDS Institute, and the Center for Environmental Health, where I work. So what have we done with respect to accreditation? We've had meetings to inform the senior leadership about what the process is and to get our new commissioner's support. We have staff from throughout the organization involved in the original launch of that. There's a timeline that's been created, and we received a performance management grant from CDC, a five-year cooperative agreement. So we have staff who understand performance management, understand strategic planning and measurement on hand to assist us, which is particularly important for this to have some kind of continuity and legs. That will help us, people out in the program, immensely, that there's somebody that we can run our stuff by and get some feedback from. Now, the environment for strategic planning, of course, we're affected by the nationwide environment. We're all trying to implement the Affordable Care Act in state health departments, and we're now going to jump on the accreditation bandwagon, and we're going to apply for that. At the statewide level, we have a new governor, almost 10 months now, so there's that whole transition issues that we're dealing with. He established what's called the SAGE Commission, which is looking to reorganize state government, to realign agencies. I think they're looking particularly at health agencies. So now we have a health department and an office of mental health and an office of alcoholism and substance abuse and an office for children, and they may turn into that may change by next June when this commission's report comes out. Our new commissioner is interested in agency-wide planning and has launched an initiative for agency-wide planning, and he's going to announce that later this week. I don't know if many of you, how many are involved in organizations that have had strategic planning efforts? How many of your organizations have had more than one strategic planning effort over time? Okay. So you know that when these things come up, sometimes we, particularly out in the program, feel like, oh, we're having another episode of strategic planning. Let's endure it. Hopefully we will recover from it. So that has been the history. Strategic planning efforts have kind of historically ebbed and flowed with the interest of the leadership of the organization. Commissioner changes, maybe no interest in it. Their interest may be someplace else entirely. So one of the points I'll be making is that this process and the accreditation finally provides some stability, some ongoing motivation, and some continuity and process for health departments to kind of stick with it long enough for it to actually develop into a fruitful process. There's budget planning initiatives. There are program-specific strategic plans. If we look throughout the health department, you probably collect up 20 strategic plans having to do with diabetes, heart disease, long-term care, healthy housing. They're all over the place. So we're going into this process with everybody because either CDC requires it to give us the money or individual managers recognize it as significant. They're all over the place, but they may not be aligned. And we've also got this performance management initiative, and again, we're going to try to sell performance measures to the program people. So what are the deliverables of this project? We're to provide a strategic planning methodology that could be used at the office-wide level and down through all our centers. to help leadership map a strategy for priority setting. So, you know, as Paul will tell you, strategic planning doesn't include everything that your organization does. What is strategic? What is critical? That's what you're going to be focusing on. And then to connect that strategy with performance management and performance measurement efforts, and to see how all those individual efforts may be aligned by the use of these strategy maps. The other deliverables, my next page here. Oops, sorry.
You want to go?
Oh, there's more. So metrics to make sure that we do measure our progress and keep this a live and real type of system, and that we understand what the utility of an organized approach provides, and not one that's cyclical or, you know, comes and goes. That's a nice little graphic. Strategic planning, probably, you know, some of the people's kind of mistake for strategic planning is they see strategic planning as plans, sit on the shelf, never reviewed. They're static. We live in a dynamic world. But performance measurement is the kind of thing that keeps that thing from being done, from being static, keeps it dynamic, keeps it always, you know, in the present. Okay, the balanced scorecard approach. So this is the management guru stuff. So the balanced scorecard was an approach to strategic planning and performance measurement that was initiated in the late 80s. It was popularized by Kaplan and Norton. Guys hooked up with the Harvard Business Review and school, and they published all kinds of books, and they publicized it. And it really has sustained itself, grown, evolved, and developed since that time. The idea is that it communicates those things that strategic planning generally do. It maps strategies based on cause and effect assumptions, so you have to provide logic models to say, you know, what it is that you're going to do and why you're going to do it and why it may be effective. Those, you develop strategy maps which then supposedly are aligned to day-to-day activities that everybody in the organization can look to and find where they fit in terms of what those strategies are. And it does provide a discipline framework. That's for what is kind of discipline. And it takes some effort. It's not entirely easy to grab this. But it's at least it's one that once you've got it, you're going to have it for a while, and it's going to sustain itself, I think. So that's kind of a schematic of what this is all about, from vision all the way down to performance measures, targets, and initiatives, and working with strategic objectives and strategy maps where you hope to change reality from its current state to some future better state in terms of health outcomes. Okay, well, here's the magic scheme right here. This is the top-level strategy map, which is based on the Public Health Accreditation Board's domains to align more detailed strategies. And this is pretty much the same as the balanced scorecard that was initially used in the private sector in businesses, adapted for us in public health. So that, to me, is really a great thing. It's really good to have this. If you look at it, the various perspectives are a key element of this, that you're looking at it not just from one, but from many. And in the private sector model, the top two would have been, instead of community health status, that would have been finance. That would have been, what was the profit? What was the value to shareholders? What was the CEO's salary? So that would have been the highest level perspective in the private sector. And then the one below that where it's called community implementation customer would fall in there. And yeah, so this has been adapted for use in the public sector and specifically adapted for public health. If you look at those bubbles that are in each of those perspective levels, you'll probably recognize them as being the essential health services, with a couple other ones thrown in related to capacity development at the bottom.
So this is really the key. Once we, once Paul put this up to our group of environmental health program managers, all of whom, you know, were being taken away from some crisis for 4 days to come up with this, they related to it. It was public health. It was no longer some off-the-shelf strategic planning scheme that some other, you know, organization found useful. It was for us. It spoke to us, and it's for that reason that I think that this really has some longevity and utility to it. We spoke before about all those other strategic plans that we currently have that are program specific. The idea by doing the strategy mapping and using these good and balanced scorecards is that everybody's going to see the same map, everybody's going to see where everybody's going, and not only within the organization, but externally with all our partners on the outside, so that we can show people when we want to get them to endorse a program or provide assets to a program, whether it's the building community or the real estate community or whoever we want to influence towards our public health goals. We've got something that we can show them that shows them how they fit into it and where they relate. So, these are some of those strategic plans that I mentioned that the state is running through. And so, we have a prevention agenda. We have a diabetes, obesity, injury, lead poisoning, hepatitis, stem cell, WIC, certificate of need, which is our process for approving the establishment of healthcare facilities in the state. And there's a health information technology strategic plan. So, all those things are going on separately. All those things have their own frameworks driven by, you know, somebody else or whoever's paying for them. So what was the process we used? Basically, in the community balance scorecard approach is to identify where you are now and where would you like to be in terms of ideally health status. So, I mean, the key elements here is Paul Hammer, this is from two statements. This is where we are now. We want to get from there to some other state with respect to some program outcome. Then there's a generation of, you know, how do you close gaps? So in our case, we had people involved from, I think we have 7 bureaus in the center, from at least 5 to 6 of those bureaus who were offering suggestions which, you know, the program that dealt primarily with lead didn't think of, but the people who deal with radiation did. So there was some cross-fertilization there in this process. We then drafted a vision statement in terms of what we wanted to see with respect to the strategic objective we chose, and then we sorted all those ideas into a strategy map, and which then enables us to prioritize program implementation and performance measures. So what we did was work on 2 or 3 objectives to define ideas, and I think we only wound up with 1 that we really got detailed, and we started to create strategic measures for us. In our case, we chose broadly healthy environments, and we chose within that context healthy homes. And the work that we did in that fed directly into our Healthy Neighborhoods, Healthy Homes grant and our lead work. So that work that we did as part of this technical assistance has now been lifted, transferred to the people who are engaged in their strategic planning a deliverable for that other program. Some of the tools we use in this process are, as I said, from to. People just sat down and said, here's the current state, this is where we want to go to. So it's very simple. There's not, you know, too much technical about this. It's basically using the brain power you have in your organization. So here's an example for one that that we came up with that had to do with risk from related to vapor intrusion in homes. So now we have many homes. We'd like to have no homes, so that's kind of a global down. Some of the ideas that we had there were to increase our investigation capacity and the mitigation activities that we found to work in some settings like radon could be transferred to other settings where there are chemical gases, you know, coming through the soil, through vapor, into people's homes. Knowledge to improve awareness of what kind of radon remediation there is. And some of the other ideas we had was to provide funding to people who can't afford to remediate to do so. And in terms of leveraging other assets, get to home builders, get to real estate agents, and educate them on constructing radon-resistant buildings. So we had all those ideas, and then we go through a process of trying to sort through those to find exactly what will work. What is the most practical of all those ideas? What's going to have the best chance of success? And what can we, in this environment, what can we, reasonably fund? So this is, again, another one of the tools. Now, this tool was the thing that was developed by our information technology group, which was the second group in addition to environmental health. Are there any information technology professionals here? Great. I ain't got a clue what this is. So I can explain it to you, and you'll believe me.
It's a wonderful thing.
But essentially, the difference with this group and the success that this group had is, whereas we were one organization, we're used to dealing with each other, more or less, within our Center for Environmental Health. This cut across the entire public health organization. We pulled people from every center. It included people from all those organizations. It included people from Health Department Central, IT staff. So that was what made this difference. Other than that, I can't speak to that, so I won't. But that's essentially what they, that tool is very significant in terms of documenting where you're going. So this is the strategy map that's based on those various perspectives. And this is the one on public health information. Go to the next slide, please. Anybody comprehended that? So this is the one that environmental health did. So this was we started, with a vision, and basically, typical vision statement, prayer-like form. It says that, we want everybody to enjoy healthy built environments that reduce exposures and hazards that cause illness and something else. that's over the strategic objectives part of that slide. And then so you go from the highest level to, what basically your health, community health status level, where that's where your goal are. But you start at the bottom with what are the assets you're dealing with. And in this case, our assets are basically our staff, the tools and the knowledge that they have and bring to it. So we thought it was important as we went through this process and people were learning from each other that we implement environmental public health force training so that everybody in our organization understood to some extent what the rest of us were doing, so that the people in toxicology and epidemiology understood what the radiation people were doing, and the radiation people understood what our risk assessors are doing and how they can use risk assessment in their work and their studies. So we found that one of the things we wanted to do was to formalize that, and that would, those arrows going upward means it informs the next level of learning. And then the other thing we need to do is reach out more externally to coordinate with housing stakeholders to identify solutions. So to get out there and work with the industries, work with the other agencies to supervise housing, to regulate housing, and to make sure that we're involving them in this process. The other things that we wanted to do after we went through this was implement a research agenda aimed at healthy homes. We make sure that all our research staff, our epidemiologists and other research scientists, are working from an agenda that we've kind of prioritized. To look at the data we already had to assess what the housing issues are. And although we do some of that, we didn't do so well, we found, in sharing the results of those evaluations outside our organization. So we wanted to improve that. We also said, gee, we probably time to take a look at our laws, rules, and regulations that govern housing. They're not always the health departments. It's the Department of State. It's other organizations. It's, it's county building inspectors. So there's a whole other world that we need to really push out, look at those things, and bring them into the 21st century. When we get to the implementation phases, some of the things we thought we should do was to, you know, we've got all these diverse resources for people about healthy housing. We need an inventory of them. We need to know what they are, where they are, that they're updated, and make sure that, take them and then tailor them to specific audiences. They're, you know, they may be generic. We should tailor them so that they are suitable for homeowners or potential home buyers, for landlords, for the building industry. So we need to take what we have, package it a little differently, and promote it a little differently. And to work with some of our fellow state and local agencies that have a significant role in housing. All those things, of course, result in reduced health risk from hazard related to the home environment, and, you know, hopefully result in improved health outcomes for the population of New York. So that's basically, you know, it's a form of a life model, too, from the bottom up. And this is the communication tool that I can go to each bureau in our center and say, these three areas are where you fit in primarily. These are where the other people went. So it's a very valuable tool to use in practical application. This is, you know, again, another one of the tools in terms of now we're into implementation. How do you assign responsibility? You develop your performance plan. You've got performance measures. What are your expectations and what are your achievements? This is part of that cyclical process that keeps it alive and not a static on the kind of shelf thing. It needs to be looked at continually. Strategy is not really a top-down type of activity. Strategy can come from any place in the organization, but probably strategies out there in our center that are being implemented by individuals, individual program specialists, individual researchers, and as managers, it's our job to recognize them, to go find them, recognize them, and to spread them. So that's one of the things that keeps it alive. It's not only just designing strategies, but they just evolve. So go find them. They're out there. Somebody's doing them. Thank you. So what were the outcomes of this? We had the engagement of two distinct organizational units with OPH that went through this process, acquired the knowledge on balanced scorecard and strategic planning, and hopefully can now use that in other initiatives we in the center have begun on our own, even before the commissioner's new strategic planning initiative, an effort to develop a community balanced scorecard approach to climate change and public health. So we're looking at developing a strategic map around that kind of thing, which is an emerging area of interest. So we hope to also develop high-level strategy maps, not just program-specific ones that can be used across our center and across the Office of Public Health. And basically now we're going through a process of identifying people who are going to be responsible throughout the organization for the implementation of the strategic plan. Hey, are there more outcomes? Good. What did we learn from this? It's time intensive. It really is. It takes some effort and it takes some focus and it takes somebody keeping you to the task, because when a hurricane, you know, does major damage in upstate New York, that's unusual, you know, climate change. And that takes you off task. That puts your people out in disaster recovery centers for extended periods of time. And it, you know, the urgent will always override the important, even when it's not so urgent. Obviously, hurricanes and last weekend's wonderful snowstorm were the kinds of things that are urgent and are important, but you need to really stick to it. You need to have your subject matter experts involved. If you don't get one way or another, to get the real experts in your programs engaged, you're going to have a harder time with success. Leadership commitment, again, is critical. We have that with our new commissioner. He has a lot of interest in it. We have it with the assistance of ASTO. We have it with CDC's assistance. And the credentialing, frankly, is going to give this legs. It's going to finally, our state and many states don't have laws like GIPRA that requires every federal agency to have a strategic planning process. Without somebody, making you do it, it doesn't get done. This finally is something that, even though it's voluntary at this point in time, is a positive impetus for state health departments to start and continue strategic planning and performance measuring. Okay, Hope is a very detailed person. She's got this planned out. She has 3 slides on next steps. She has 18 next steps. I hope to retire by step 9. But essentially, she has done a lot of planning. There is a lot of effort that goes into this. And I don't think I'll go through all of these. I think there's another page of them, which is in your material. But basically, this is Hope's implementation plan. I think there's another one.
No. That goes.
Okay. So, anyway, all of this is intended to lead to us accomplishing those health outcome goals that the department is setting in our prevention agenda. And those are, fairly typical prevention objectives that you'll probably all recognize. So, back to my conclusion. This process, the community balance scorecard approach, is a real advancement, I think, in terms of giving tools to public health professionals to do strategic planning, to do performance measurement, and to make healthier places for healthy people. Thank you.
Thank you.